Welcome in, or welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Good, Scottie Scheffler winning his second green jacket at the Masters. Bad, the Rockies lose another series. They've yet to win a series here in 2024. Try to turn that around tonight in Philadelphia. We'll have it on the team pregame at 4 o'clock. Good, Scotty Vines setting a state high jump record, the DeBec high jumper. Text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. All right, coming up, you'll have a chance to play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. Get a gift certificate to Wrigley Field on North Avenue. We'll have that coming up in just a little bit, so make sure you stick around for that. We'll also have a four-down territory and this day in sports history. So wanted to get to this because we had it on the website over the weekend, and in the news that we're glad to break here on the radio station, that Mary Doan, Central girls basketball coach, bad for Central but good for Grand Junction High School. Mary's going to leave Central to take over the Grand Junction girls basketball program. And so I had the chance to catch up with Mary Doan on her decision to move cross town from the Warriors to the Tigers. With us right now, Mary Doan, the soon-to-be former head coach of the Central girls basketball team. She'll be heading cross town to take over the Grand Junction girls program. And first, Mary, congratulations. Big change coming up for you. Give us the reasons why you're making the move from Central to Grand Junction High School to be the head coach.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I think in life, a lot of times, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. And if you're not changing, you're not growing. And, so a lot of this came up with the idea of me being able to make a change, be able to grow myself as a human and as a basketball coach, and, be able to help a new program out. And hopefully we can rebuild there and make Junction a significant player here in the Grand Valley. Obviously, ultimately, we believe this is the best move for my family and my children as well. And so excited about the new opportunity to do something that I love to do and hopefully be able to help some kids out with it.
Part of this, of course, you'll be coaching the Tigers, but I imagine a move to Grand Junction High School from a teaching standpoint as well, from that standpoint, is that part of the plan as well?
Yes. Yep. I will be teaching business at Grand Junction High School, and quite honestly, looking forward to taking some things off my plate. I do a lot of things at Central, and thankful for the opportunities I've had at Central and the administration. And Tracy Arledge she is so fantastic, and this building is very lucky to have such a good human as the principal. I don't have to do FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. I'll be taking girls golf off my plate as well. I will be taking the PTEC program off of my plate as well. And so, it'll give me a chance to focus on what I do want to do, what I love to do, and that's, basketball and my family. So that is also a piece of the puzzle that will be really nice.
Mary Doan with us today. She'll be moving to Grand Junction High School to become the Tigers girls head coach. And well, let's just be honest. It's been some brutal years for Grand Junction. Sam's last two or three years, of course, Sam Provenza, who had a tremendous career as Grand Junction girls basketball coach. Things were not great before Sam retired. Team struggled, and he had some challenges in terms of developing players. And so Sam, though, had an incredible program when he was there. But those last years were a little bit rough. And then Sidney Brandon, who, of course, coached for you at Central, coached the last 2 years, great basketball player at Colorado Mesa. But they made improvement in year two under Sidney, but certainly not the level that Tiger fans had seen in previous years when Sam was the head coach. So it is a program that, there was a little bit of improvement with some players like Harper Young was a freshman who was their second-leading scorer. There's some young talent there, but there's a lot of work to be done in terms of getting Grand Junction back to where it once was.
Absolutely, but I think if you can remember, when I took over at Central, they had won 6 games in 3 years, and there was a lot of work to be done there as well. Not something that I'm scared of. Obviously CMU, same deal. When Roger and I went to CMU, there was a lot of work to be done there. And so, yeah, all those things are true about Grand Junction High School as far as they have not been at a competitive level as of late. But, you know, I believe that it comes down to the players wanting to do it and the coaches being able to give them the skills and fundamentals and the competitive nature to do so. And so it's, like I said, I think it's going to be a new challenge, and that's a good thing because when you're challenged, then you have an opportunity to grow. And I think that the girls, from what I've seen and from the people I've spoke with, I think that they want, you know, they want to get better. They want to work and they want to be basketball players. And that's, you know, that's where it starts.
I mentioned Harper Young was their second leading scorer, the freshman. She'll be a sophomore when you take over as the head coach. Also, they had a sophomore that had a decent season as well. And certainly Ella Alderman that was one of their better players this last season. There is some talent there. I mean, it's like I said, the record certainly does not reflect that, but there is some talent, most notably with Young, that some pieces to kind of build around with what's left there when you take over.
Yeah, I mean, there's some kids, you know, it's not like they haven't been playing basketball, and it's not like they haven't been, you know, getting coached. And like, you know, like I said, and Jim, I really can't speak on what I have and what I don't have.
Sure.
You know, I just, this has kind of been a whirlwind and a lot. And, you know, the decision to make the change was not done lightly in any way. It was a lot of back and forth and should I, shouldn't I? And, you know, I think I threw my application in at the very last moment. And so I don't know what I have. I do know, you know, of a couple kids here and there, but it's going to take getting into it and figuring it out. And, like I said, what I have noticed is that I believe they want to work. I believe they want to be better. And so that's where it starts is being able to accept that challenge. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of adversity and they got to be able to embrace that. And you know, again, it can be a great thing. It can be a lot of fun, but it starts with where your mind is and your attitude. And we got to figure out what we got. So, looking forward to getting started with those girls here soon.
And I know this is still in the very early stages. What does it look like in terms of coaching staff, assistants, things like that for you?
Yeah, I couldn't even talk to you about that right now. Just like I said, I just took the job and just accepted it. And right now, I've been more concerned about, you know, my players at Central, and taking care of where I'm at with this transition. And you know, and I want to do things the right way. I want to make sure that my assistants here at Central are left in a good spot. This program's left in a good spot, and then making that transition to Junction. And and so, as far as assistant coaches. I started thinking about it, and there's a few people I have in mind, and but we're not even there yet.
Knowing what your relation is with Sam Provenza, would Sam be one of those guys that might be involved in what you're doing with the Tigers?
Sam can do whatever Sam wants to do, and I love Sam, and it absolutely would take any help from him. And you know, I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, he was my secret weapon the last couple of years anyways at Central. He's been, you know, and watching, he watches my game films, and we talk a lot, and you know, he has a plethora of knowledge, obviously, when it comes to basketball. So there's a lot of times when he was like, hey, did you see this, or, you know, pieces of that. So Sam will, I feel like, be involved in one way or another. And but that's kind of a conversation that Sam and I need to have.
Mary Doan with us on the Team Sports Network. And just kind of finally, Mary, to wrap things up here, some of your best memories of coaching at Central. You took over from Todd Dixon in 2017, so you've been there for a while. You've had some teams that made deep tournament runs, so the 20-5 team that you had a couple of seasons ago that made a deep run. Just kind of some of your overall thoughts, some of your memories of coaching at Central.
I think one of my best memories will be just the change in culture and the willingness to come along for the ride. Every player that I coached here, they always had a greater purpose, and we built such a tight family. Central High School is a fantastic place for kids to go to school. And I think sometimes that, obviously perception is reality, very, very often. And since I have you on, I gotta speak on the kids here and the kids that I've coached in the past and great humans. And so when you think about some of the great moments, I think one of my obviously my players, it comes down to the kids who came through the program, who graduated through the program. When I think back on my time as a Warrior, those are the people that I'm going to think of. Those are the times I'm going to think of. The games and the records, those you usually forget sooner, but it's the memories of the people. I think rebuilding, we rebuilt our locker room once and had a great painting day and we created things that were ours and we made a culture that was ours. And that's the piece that will probably be missed the most, but it's just that culture and that family and those players that I coached, but they also don't go away. I still stay in touch and talk to a lot of my former players. So, I've always said that, your loyalty lies there with your players and your family. And that's probably where my memories are too.
And this is way down your list, but it's going to be exciting. You and Dutch Johnson will get that chance to, obviously, as the Tigers boys coach, to coach a game in the brand new gymnasium at a brand new Grand Junction High School. That's an exciting moment for, I think, anybody.
Yeah, I don't know if I've even wrapped my head around that piece. I am excited to work with Dutch. Dutch and I got into coaching about the same time when I was in Durango and he was in Junction. And, our careers have crossed paths multiple times. And, Dutch is a fantastic human, a great basketball coach. It will be, and I'm excited about that piece of it, is just being able to watch and learn from him. And hopefully I can steal some stuff and make my team better. So, the gym, I think that might hit me when we walk in there and get to start practicing in there, but that's not exactly where those are right now, not the things that I'm most excited about.
Sure. Lots of other things from a personal standpoint for you that are certainly big pluses, as you've referenced in our conversation. Hey, Mary, always appreciate it. I'm thrilled for you. Sounds like you made this decision based on a lot of personal things with your family and taking their needs into account. And I think that's wonderful that anybody does that, put your family first. And those things are important. But congratulations on the move to Grand Junction High School. Looking forward to talking with you as the Tigers' new head basketball coach coming up soon. Thanks again, Mary. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jimmy. Always appreciate you.
All right, Mary Doan, now the new girls coach at Grand Junction High School. So a lot of that based on her personal life and the direction of what she wanted to do as far as her career goes as a teacher, not necessarily as a basketball coach.
Right.
That certainly...
Trying to find time to sleep in there, too, listen to all the stuff she did at Central. Like, dang.
Well, we were going to have her on live today, and Mary's also the golf coach, as she referenced in the interview. She's Central's golf coach. So they're going to be in the vans going to a tournament, and so... I thought, let's talk Friday.
Yeah.
Just a little, worked out a little better logistically for her. But wish her the best. And certainly for Josh King, wish him the best in terms of finding a new boys basketball coach and now a new girls varsity basketball coach as well.
What's wild to me is when it comes to the Grand Valley proper, Corey Hitchcock is now the longest tenured basketball coach.
Yeah, it's true.
At 3 years.
We've had others like Dutch and Michael.
They come back.
They come back to
genders,
coach.
Yeah.
Or coach, coach a different gender. But that's true.
In their current tenure.
Yeah, that's true.
that's wild. Because usually for the longest time it was, okay, it's Sam. Then it's Michael Wells. And then, okay, now it's Mary because she'd been there 8-10 years. Now it's Corey Hitchcock. All 8 basketball teams have changed head coaches since the pandemic.
And see, what, the second would be Jeff Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be the second.
Him and Don Baver, I think, are neck and neck. I think they're the same years. Jeff maybe a year more.
I think Jeff's started a year before Don did.
I think this would be Jeff's third year.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Let's see.
I think this will be Don's third year, too. I'm not sure.
I thought Jeff started a year before, but
I think this is only his second year.
Maybe.
This last year. I don't know. We'll have to look that up. I think it's either Corey and Jeff or Corey then Jeff. One or the other. And down Highway 50 way, they're pretty secure with Rob and Kyle and Steve and Ryan. They're all pretty well set. Speaking of girls, basketball coach and golf coach, Steve Skiff, doing double duty. Dave Fox did that for a while.
Yep, and Steve's been doing that for quite some time.
Yeah, gotta love the smaller town schools, you know. Oh, you're going to coach this sport and lead this school organization, and you have to teach 6 classes a day. Have fun. All for the kids.
Yeah, I'm just looking here to see. They hired Jeff in May of 22.
So 2-3 and 3-4. So yeah, he just finished his second season.
And then Don finished his second season.
Yeah, so they're tied longest.
So anyway. I thought Jeff had got a year start, but yeah, they're both a couple of years, and now they're heading into their third season.
Yeah. I think Josh has had to fill every job out there at Central in his 10 years AD. It feels like
had to
baseball, football, yeah. Now both basketball. I think wrestling was under his tenure, maybe, or maybe right at the very end.
Yeah, when you hired Clint, when Lawrence, I think.
Retired?
Yeah, Lawrence retired.
I think that was 3 years ago?
Yeah. It's a lot.
Time's a flat circle. It's
a lot of
lot
of movement.
Yeah.
A lot of fluidity in the coaching ranks here in the Valley.
The hardest part last year was saying boys basketball coach for Michael Wells. It's going to be real weird to say Grand Junction girls basketball coach Mary Doe.
Right. Since Mary had been there since 2017, coaching the Central girls. All right, 9:18. And but once again, we wish Mary the best of luck over Grand Junction High School. She takes over that program. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back. We have a 4-down territory this day in sports history as well. But it's time to give you a chance to play Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. Chance to win a gift certificate to Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar, home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field just east of Sam Saplesio Field on North Avenue. All right, so here's the question. It's a Rockies question today. Which two 2007 NLCS champion Rockies also played for the Colorado Rockies in 2018.
That was the last playoff team.
Yes.
I know the answer.
Which two members of the 2007 NLCS champion Colorado Rockies also played for the Rockies in 2018? So send your answer in. If you won earlier today with the number game, don't play. If you've won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Otherwise, go for it. First correct answer on the team line. Send your answer in on the text line. Text only, 970-242-1340. One more time. Which two 2007 NLCS champion Colorado Rockies also played for Colorado in 2018?
Interesting part. Neither of these guys are on the list of Rockies to play 1,000 games for the franchise.
Very true.
For interest and intrigue.
And one of these guys had a tie to the Rockies organization through the broadcast booth. Well, recently.
That's true.
Recently. That's no longer the case.
Right.
So send your answer in right now. Text only, 970-242-1340. All right, 9:20, we will take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, online at theteam1340.com.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
9:22. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. A lot of good with a little bad. It's Jackie Robinson Day today. Also, Nuggets wrap up the season with their 57th win. Ties a franchise best from last season. Bad, the way the Avalanche have been playing. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. So that leads us to Sam from Fruita on the team line. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jim Davis. How about you?
I'm doing fine, Samuel. Wish the Avalanche were doing better. Yikes. Saturday was a disaster. And then Sunday, you get a 3-goal lead and you poop down both legs and you lose in overtime at Vegas. It's not looked good for the Avalanche the last couple of games.
Yeah, it's another blue Monday. Well, I think the good is definitely the DU Pioneers taking a Frozen Four. That we had suffered through the Avs game earlier, and as soon as that was over and we were able to get our food back down, we switched over and watched the balance of that playoff game, and they were fantastic. And that is his name, Matt Davis?
Yes.
The goalie?
My cousin Matt.
Man, he was a magician.
Yeah, the one save in particular where they look like they're, you know, they get down ice and they're, you know, I don't know if I forgot exactly what, how many, I think he had like a 2-on-1 with him, and he comes up with an incredible, incredible save to preserve that 2-0 lead. It was, yeah, he played so well. We talked about the numbers are phenomenal, what he did during the Frozen Four with the number of saves that he had. I mean, God, this is just incredible. Maybe the Avs could, maybe Matt Davis would be available potentially for the postseason.
You know, I wonder if he's been drafted yet.
Yeah.
They mentioned one fellow on that team that I can't remember whose roster or whose draft he was, but I wonder if – I think Davis has got another year at DU. But
68-69, though. He has not been drafted by a team just yet, by the way. You're correct about that. But he'd say 68-69.
Boy, that was just incredible. Just incredible. I'd say the bad is probably the Rockies, but, hey, you know, they aren't disappointing anybody. We're used to it.
I think we thought they'd be a little better than this, but...
Yeah, I know that's what you guys were saying, but you can't convince me, and I think at the rate they're going... they may have a tough time breaking 100 again, but they're going to be real close. And then the ugly is the Avalanche. You know, you never know what team's going to show up. That's the problem. You know, they play out of their minds one game, and the next game, it's like they were never on the ice together. And that 7-0 beatdown on Saturday, I really thought they'd come back and beat Las Vegas yesterday. But now their last game of the season is going to be against the Oilers. And the Oilers always play them tough. So I expect they'll get beat. I think it's Wednesday when the game is. Maybe they should figure out how to move the roster from the Eagles up and put them on the ice instead of sending them their own guys out there and see what happens. Couldn't be much worse.
Well, we kind of thought the Eagles were the ones playing on Saturday against Winnipeg. But if you didn't watch it, you have to go back and check the box score. Oh no, McKinnon was out there and McCarr and everybody was out there. Just at least physically, they were out there.
And now they got to take these guys in the first round, and they've lost 4 games against them and not won all season. And somehow, I'm not going to be surprised if the Avs get swept. And it makes me sick.
Yeah, see, and
there's so much talent on that team,
and for some reason
it just isn't gelling.
Yeah, I'm not as negative as that. This is also a team that's found at times the ability to flip a switch, and I'm hoping they can flip that switch. I don't know how to predict how they're going to do, because they can play the way they have the last couple of games. Absolutely dreadful hockey after they got up to the great start against Vegas yesterday. But we've also seen them go out and be very dominant. And all, you know, we applauded all the moves made by Chris McFarland, getting Scott Walker, getting Mittelstadt, getting Trennan, getting the players that they brought in. And it seems like that, you know, that really helped to fill some spots. I don't know if Georgie's the problem. Georgie has not played great. They also have not played great in front of him either. They took way too many penalties yesterday. He's got to play some smarter hockey. I'm not as down on them as you are, Sam, but I think your level of concern needs to be really high right now if you're an Avalanche fan, because they certainly are not playing the kind of hockey you would like to see them playing at this juncture of the season.
Yeah, the Jets really seem to have their number. And just remember, they got beat by the Kraken last year in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get swept. I certainly think, though, that a lot of soul-searching is going to be going on this week as they get ready to start the playoffs. A lot of soul-searching for this team.
I think they're going to need to find a goalie. Georgie's okay, and Anunin is certainly impressed. But if you're going to the Cup, you better have that goalie that's in the zone the whole way, because when you make mistakes, he's got to fix them for you. And Georgie's had a rough time with that lately. And they've made plenty of mistakes.
All right, Sam, appreciate it. Thanks for calling in today, Sam. All right.
Bye.
There's Sam from Fruita. Yeah, there's concern.
Yeah. Georgie is Russ Wilson. He's not the problem. He is a problem. Right now. He's not been good long enough for big enough stretches the last 2 months for them to have like real, real deep aspirations. Now, he can get on fire. Everybody can. You have a good game one, good game two, and then all of a sudden you're off and running. But if you're taking the last 6-7 weeks into account, there's been way too many sevens thrown out there by opposing teams.
And just the way they kind of, I hate to say it, just kind of lay down and died. I mean, they did. And then you saw the fight on Sunday. They go out, they score three goals, they grab the lead, and you're going, okay, Saturday was a clunker, it was a bad game, that's going to happen. But, wow. But I don't know, were we giving them too much credit for the way that they came back against Pittsburgh when they were down 4-0? I still look back to that stretch where they went up and played in Calgary, won at Vancouver. That, man, you're just going, this team is ready for the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And now
that nice long winning streak to start March seems like forever ago. Because they've lost 4 of 5. They've lost
They had the 9-game winning streak.
Yeah. You know.
And it's the fourth longest. It's tied for fourth longest in franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they've been terrible by any stretch of the imagination all season long. They've just started to play really bad as of late.
They've
at the
given
worst possible time.
32 goals this month.
Ooh.
In 7 games. They're allowing 4.25, 4.75, whatever it is, between 4 and 5 goals a game this month. They beat Minnesota 5-2, then 6-7, beat Minnesota 5-2 again, then 7 to the Jets and lost 4-3 to the Knights yesterday in overtime. Like that, you say about how good the defense can be and about how good Georgie can be, they haven't been the last 2 weeks.
All right, so we're still looking for an answer for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And the question, once again, by the way, was a Rockies question, and it was about two members from the 07 NLCS championship team that played for Colorado in 2018. One of these guys I mentioned had a tie previously to the Rockies broadcast booth. He was not a broadcaster, but he had a tie to the broadcast booth.
And it was a It's a tie now. I don't even think it was a tie at the time.
When he played there,
no. We're thinking the same.
No, right? No, not when he played there, but now had a recent. Mm-hmm. That's changed because the person the player is connected to no longer works for the Rockies.
Right.
And you know, they were not together.
They were not together when either of them were in Colorado.
Correct. That happened.
I know where we're at here. I was surprised to find out they were an item in the first place.
And then the other player
has made a lot of news, not through his baseball the last 2 weeks,
but through someone in his family.
Yes.
And could be considered one of the greatest Rockies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
And neither played 1,000 games for the Rockies, so they were not among the 8 we listed earlier.
It's like Jim texted in, and you responded, one of the answers is correct. I'm not going to say the names or anything.
No, but we did have a guess for Charlie Blackmon and Ryan Spielborgs. Charlie Blackmon, not on the 07 squad.
Nope.
Spilly, not on the 18 squad. We had a guess for Todd Helton and Cargo. Todd Helton not on the 18 team. Cargo not on the 07 team. And then Spilly and Cargo, neither of them, well, the same. One was on the 7 squad, one wasn't.
Right.
So
I think we've given you some pretty good hints. One guy, journeyman guy.
A little bit. Bounced around a little.
Yeah.
I mean, they both kind of bounced around after they left the Rockies.
But the one is one of the greatest Rockies
major,
of all time.
Major Rockies legend.
Exactly. They got the chance to kind of finish up his career by return.
The greatest Rockies TV promo commercial ever.
Yeah.
I can't even get more than that because it'll totally give it away. But
highly regarded high school quarterback.
Yes.
Before he settled on a baseball career. Can't give you too many more than that.
No.
We're just going to give it away.
Outside of giving you the names.
All right, I got a text from Will this morning, our friend Will Jones, and said, good morning, gentlemen. If this is allowed, can you congratulate the Fruita alumni wrestling team as they won the first annual Adaptive Heroes Dodgeball Tournament Saturday? Of course we can, Will. I just said it.
There you go. Done.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Glad to do that, Will. Also got a text from...
Fruita even dominating Adaptive Heroes Dodgeball.
It's all over the place. From Matt. Matt McCaskill, the Mesa Junior 17's club volleyball team, finished 9th out of 61 teams at the Salt Lake City Showdown National Qualifier. Teams from Texas, Oregon, California, Utah, and Idaho. And the only 2 losses were to the 2 teams that finished 1st and 2nd overall. So they have 3 top 10 finishes at 3 national tournaments this year. Lots of local players with Palisade Addie Ritterbush and Braylee McCaskill, Grace McEnany, also Sarah Foster, Delaney Brinkley from Fruita, Campbell Brammer and Savannah Oney, Delta Audrey Frazier plays, Kate Aria Norwood was with the Sammy Beach volleyball team. She's normally their coach, but Wendy McCaskill coaches at Palisade, and Kate Hampson were the coaches with Aria Norwood with the CMU volleyball team, the beach volleyball team. So congratulations to them on another successful weekend. All right, 9:36. So we're still looking for guesses here.
Mm-hmm.
Wrigley Field, Colorado Sports Trivia. 2 members of the Rockies from the 07 NLCS Championship team also played for Colorado in 2018. Ryan Spielborgs, no.
Charlie Blackmon, in 18.
Charlie Blackmon, no.
Wasn't up in 07.
Todd Helton, no.
Did not play in 18.
So those are players that are not. One of the clues, once again, journeyman guy. Well, the players are looking for journeyman player that has a tie to the Rockies broadcast booth from last season, or to the Rockies broadcasts. Isn't he married to?
Yeah, but she's been gone a while.
Okay, previously, yeah. Not just last year. I thought she was
not who just left for the A's, but has been with the Dodgers for quite a while.
Okay, I'm getting mixed up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm getting the wrong individual here. Yes, she's been gone for a while. Mm-hmm. She does MLB Network stuff.
Correct. She got preempted today, because of the Red Sox.
I was getting her confused with the other one that just left, so thank you.
They got preempted today, though, because Guardians, Red Sox, Patriots
did. So, yes, this individual had a previous tie with the Rockies broadcasts on the TV side.
So they met while both married to other people. Not saying there's anything hinkiness going on here. Just saying the connection is there from their time.
And then the other one of the greatest players in Rockies history.
Mm-hmm.
They got kind of a final curtain call, if you will, coming back to play for the Rockies.
Apparently Paul knows, but he's doing the right thing because he's won the last 2 weeks. He's not clogging up with the answers, even though he has twice before since. But it's neither here nor there.
One of the player talking about the famous one,
mm-hmm.
his chin's very famous.
Yeah. Part of the great commercial.
Very famous chin. All right, so 938. And so get your answer in now. Text only, please, 970-242-1340. It's time for Four Down Territory.
We're into Four Down Territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, I got a couple from the Masters from yesterday. Nice moment with Tiger Woods and Vern Lundquist. Vern Lundquist calling his final Masters. 40th consecutive year of calling the Masters. And Vern's now 83. And Tiger Woods was not in contention on Sunday. He teed off early in the day. And we got to the 16th hole. CBS, they had not started their coverage yet. But Vern Lundquist was sitting by a tree near the green watching what was going on. And so after he finished his hole, Tiger went over to Lundquist to shake Vern's hand and congratulate him on his incredible career. Classy move.
I love the pictures, too. It's essentially Tiger Woods shaking the hand of a tree.
His arm sticks out from the tree, and you don't really see Vern Lundquist. All right, second down. Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters for the second time in his young career as he shot a 68 in the final round yesterday. Finished 11 under for the tournament, four shots better than the runner-up from Sweden, Ludvig Åberg. So as he was walking to the clubhouse from the 18th green, Scheffler stopped. And he waited for his caddy, Ted Scott. Most players, they make the walk to the Augusta National Clubhouse by themselves.
Or with their wives or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But Scheffler wanted Scott to walk ahead of him. And Scott appreciated the gesture and enjoyed the moment. And so
he booked it, too. He was gone. Scotty was out there shaking hands, high fives. And old Ted Scott was on a mission. He's like, I got to put this back down.
I think that's pretty cool, though.
Awesome.
You go first. Thanks, man, for you being part of this. And a great gesture on the part of Scottie Scheffler.
I loved it, too. He's standing there yelling at him. He's like, let's go. You're coming with me. Like,
come on.
We're
doing this together.
It's pretty cool. Also, the final of the UFC 300, Justin Gaethje, I believe, trying to figure out. Remember the name. I should have written down the name. But Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway, they went five rounds, almost five. With about 15 seconds to go, Max Holloway was standing in the middle of the octagon and motioned to Justin Gaethje, like, all right, let's just throw hands. There's not much time left, and so they did, and then he knocked him out with, like, 3 seconds left. It was incredible to just see those two guys throwing bombs at each other. It was fantastic. And then fourth down, loved ESPN's coverage of the Frozen Four. All except the continuous we from the color guy against BU on Thursday. Whole lot of we're not playing well. We're not getting calls. That's not great. Need to find either a better option or a better word. Because the color guy was very much and the play-by-play guy too, I think that was Bucci. They were very much wanting BU to win that. You could tell. It's like, a kid from DU would get Nancy Kerrigan and they'd just be like, good, no call. And a sneeze on a BU player. We're not getting any calls. It's like, they're not fine. We're not. All right, now we're getting into some weird territory. And turns out you lost anyway.
Yeah, that's that's terrible. That's a terrible thing to have somebody that's dropping the we all the time on a national telecast.
The Westwood guys, stellar. We're absolutely fantastic on the team. But the we for the ESPN, not great.
Colby Cohen, is that who did it?
I think so, yeah.
With Butchergrass? Yeah.
Yeah, it was... It caught me off guard, and then I was listening, and I'm like, did he say we?
I'm not a fan of we in any circumstance.
I'm definitely not when especially it's a national broadcaster.
You know, if you're the voice of a team, okay, I'll give you some, I'll cut you some slack on that.
I don't even care if you went there. Troy Aikman doesn't say we when doing the Cowboys.
Never does. Never will.
And he would probably rightfully more so have an out to do that than that dude.
Or Trent Green when the Chiefs are playing or the Rams are playing. He doesn't do a we.
No.
Kurt Warner, if he's calling a game on Monday Night Football, it's the Cardinals or the
Giants
Rams.
Or Rams. He doesn't.
Not dropping a we. I just. And to be biased toward one team or the other as well. The we's bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's kind of obvious that, you're...
It was not
You're
great.
Leaning that direction.
Saturday was better, but it was a low bar.
Yeah. All right, 9:44. Sorry, go ahead.
We have a winner.
Okay, we have a winner for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Now the correct answer is coming in hot and heavy, but first in the door was Steven with Matt Holliday. With the great, did he touch that jelly donut?
The bloody chin.
And the jelly on the chin. I don't think he touched the plate. No, I saw him touch the great commercial. And then Chris Iannetta, who's married to Alana Rizzo now.
Right, I got her and Jenny Kavnar momentarily confused, yes. So, Alana Rizzo.
Yep.
We were on the program before.
Mm-hmm. Both, I think, actually. Not Iannetta, but the two ladies.
Yeah, I think we had Jenny on the program before as well, who's now the voice of the Oakland A's.
Doing a great job.
All right, 9:44. And it's time for This Day in Sports History.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right. On this day, April 15th, Jackie Robinson in 1947 plays his first major league game for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He goes 0-for-3, but scores the deciding run in a 5-3 win over the Boston Braves at Ebbets Field. He is the first black player to appear in the majors since 1884.
0-for-3, huh? Overrated. Just kidding, by the way.
Wow. Ouch. Ouch for you saying that.
Jackson Holliday comes up, goes 0-for-4, and there's people like, oh, see.
He sucks. Like,
what do you mean, see? He's been a big leaguer for 4 hours.
He's a rookie. They don't even have his name playing in his locker yet. It's just athletic tape with his name written on it.
Just his initials.
Cut him cut him some slack. He looks like he's 10 years old.
It's because I remember when he was 10.
Yeah.
Hitting bombs at Coors Field.
Also on this day, 1952, the Detroit Red Wings beat the Montreal Canadiens 3-0 to capture the Stanley Cup. Red Wings hold the Canadiens to 2 goals in the 4-game series. 1984, Ben Crenshaw wins the Masters by 2 strokes over Tom Watson. 1991, Magic Johnson sets an NBA record for career assists in a 112-106 win over the Dallas Mavericks. Johnson, who needed 9 assists to break Oscar Robertson's record of 9,887, gets 19 assists to get the victory. 1993, Sparky Anderson earns his 2,000th victory as a manager as the Detroit Tigers rally to beat the Oakland A's 3-2. And also 1993, Andre Dawson, the Hawk, becomes the 25th player, did 400 home runs as the Red Sox beat Cleveland 4-3. And one final one, 95, Glenn Rice scores 56 points to lead Miami to a 123-117 win over the Orlando Magic. All right, that's this day in sports history. We'll take a break and come back, 9:47. Jim, along with the Buckeye boy, it's the Team Sports Network.
It's the Western Slopes home of Colorado sports.
Come on!
This is the Jim Davis Show.
Thanks for having us on today, Jim and the Buckeye boy. Let's go to the team line. We have Jim on the team line. Let's talk a little MLB. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. I was listening. There's a lot of baseball talk this morning. Today, on this day, 70 years ago, I went to my first Major League game.
Well, congratulations. 70 years ago today. Yeah, who did you watch?
The Orioles in Baltimore and the White Sox.
So what's your favorite memory, Jim, of that day, of that first ever Major League Baseball game you went to? Number one, how old were you that time?
Nine.
9 years old, okay.
So I'm 79, so I have two mini flashbacks that I've managed to keep. They had a parade that day, too. It's the largest parade ever held in Baltimore because the Orioles had returned. I think they went to Cleveland, I believe, and they came back to Baltimore. And all the dignitaries, including Nixon, was there. All the big convertibles, they were Lincolns and Cadillacs. The cars were full of baseballs, souvenir baseballs. They weren't real baseballs. So you could run up to the car and grab one. I wish I'd have kept it, but I didn't. I remember that. I remember going into the stadium, but I don't remember the game at all. No.
When you think back to that, what kind of feeling do you have when you think about that first game, and I'm sure that became a part of a love affair you've had with baseball your entire life, I would assume.
Yep. It is. Yep, it was. My aunts lived right on the parade route, so I don't know all the players that played in those days, a lot, 70 years ago, as you would imagine, it's a little bit different. If you look at the gloves and the uniform, it's like, wow, it's so different. And if you look at the crowd, you can see it on the internet, most of the men wore neckties to the game. I wore a bow tie to the game.
Do you still wear bow ties?
No.
No, okay.
No, as soon as I got out of elementary school, I said, that's it.
That's it, the bow ties. I'm not wearing bow ties anymore. Yeah, that was, you know, guys wore their, you know, wore the hat, wore their, you know, like a fedora, and they had the tie, and I mean, they dressed up and wore a dress shirt, and yeah, now we just throw on a pair of sweats and go to the game, so.
And there was hardly any security, I don't believe. I don't think they needed it.
Well, that's
anyway,
incredible.
Anyway, I won't hold you up, just thought I'd mention that. That's an anniversary I'll never have again.
Well, that is remarkable. Jim, I appreciate you sharing that with us, particularly on this Jackie Robinson day of all days, to have that memory and reflect back to when you saw the Baltimore Orioles play. Jim, thanks for calling in. That's a great story. Thank you so much. All right, take care. All right, Jim, first game.
Yeah.
70 years ago.
They had moved. They were the St. Louis Browns, and then they moved to Baltimore to become the Orioles. Home opener that day, looked up on Baseball Reference, beat the White Sox 3-1.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that.
That's cool.
All right, 9:53, and we need to announce our winner, by the way, for our Masters giveaway with GJ Golf. Thanks again to Ty, by the way. Thank you so much, Ty.
I demand satisfaction.
Over there at Fisher's Plaza, stop by and see Ty today.
Get your swing worked on.
Yes.
Well, you can swing it like Colin Morikawa, just way, way left.
Yeah. So who's our winner, by the way?
Bond. Jarrett Bond.
Mr. Bond.
Picked Scottie Scheffler.
All right. Good job, Mr. Bond. So
$200 gift certificate to GJ Golf.
That is correct. So we'll make sure he gets that into his sweaty little hands.
That's almost enough golf balls to last me to JUCO. If I were to play every weekend. Yeah.
Well, maybe Jarrett will be nice enough and maybe he'll get some of his gift certificate and give you a sleeve of balls or something.
Play like Bryson DeChambeau yesterday.
Yeah, you don't want to
do that. He hit one off the tee. I'm like, where is that going? Like, that's headed to Savannah. That ball is
He didn't know
gone.
Where it was going. All right, 9:54.
Hooked it inside the foul pole.
Just a little outside. All right, wrap it up with some garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
I don't know if you caught this last night, the ESPN Sunday night game. Buster Olney, that was Dodgers and Padres, and Manny Machado hits the home run, and guy throws the ball back on the field, Dodger fan does.
Mm-hmm.
And they notice that Dodger fan doesn't throw Machado home run ball back in the field. He had another ball in his pocket.
Yeah, the old switcheroo.
And so Buster Olney goes to interview the guy, and he says, well, you know, fans were going to be irate if I didn't, But I wanted to keep the ball really bad.
Heck yeah.
Because I like to collect baseballs. But apparently the guy's wife is not a big fan of him collecting baseballs. So it turned into...
I hear that.
Buster trying to figure out why the switcheroo, and then, oh, okay, then apparently it creates some marital discord at home.
A little strife
over his love of collecting baseballs. All right, back with you tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Don't forget Rockies Phillies today at 4 on the Team Sports Network.